greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
We would sing the praises of Zorn.
Eric Zorn is en route, Wendy. We've just heard from Eric Zorn's people that he is being delivered and will be here within a moment or two. So please be patient as we await the arrival of Eric Zorn.
And here he is now, ladies and
gentlemen. How does that happen? How does that happen?
I know why he has cut it so close. Did we hear from Orion Samuelson? Because there seemed to be...
Well, they had a tickle fight. Eric and Orion had a... They do this every Monday, a big tickle fight.
I wait for my Orion Samuelson walk-up music. That's right. My walk-up music.
Right.
Yeah, I think we had trouble getting him.
Yeah.
So we're a little earlier than we would be.
That's all right.
That happens to me occasionally.
Don't worry.
I'm waiting out there in the green room. I've been there for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, he waits to hear Orion.
Doing my vocal exercises.
Practicing your ad-libs.
Absolutely.
How are you?
Like
everything
rehearsals
good?
In the morning that we do. Yeah, good. Good. May the 8th be with you.
May the 8th be with you. And also with you.
I'm not sure I'm getting that joke right, but I heard it last week.
I know you're fine.
I'm going to keep working on that.
No, you're
delivery,
fine.
So.
It takes a few days for that to set in.
So,
you wanted to talk a little bit of politics.
Yeah, shall we get our Trump bashing in while we still can here?
Hurry up. Go fast.
WGN?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right, these are just inside jokes, guys, really. I mean, the station was purchased by someone else, and, you know. Careful what you say, that's all.
Okay, I will be careful.
Trump, just for the record.
Yes, I'm going to say. Well, actually, you know, it's funny. You should say that because I did refer in my Sunday piece this week to Donald Trump's new commercials. That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
He is starting to campaign for president in 2020 already.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you why. I think it's really smart of him to do it because he's good at that. He's good at connecting with people. He obviously ran a very successful campaign. I mean, he lost by 3 million votes, but, you know, he did win the Electoral College. He is the president. And he really likes these campaign rallies. You know, he goes to Pennsylvania, he gets these big crowds, he gets them fired up. I think it was 96% of the people who voted for him are still with him. He had a pretty rough first 100 days. And he got 96% of the people are still saying, yeah, I'm glad I voted for him. I'm glad he's our president. So he's able to hang on to his base. And this ad is designed at keeping his base fired up and believing in him.
But we're 3 years out from the next election. And there's always speculation, as he keeps saying, that the job is hard, that he will lose interest
like
in
Barbie,
it.
Like Barbie, this
before.
Job is hard.
This job is hard.
Math is hard. That presidenting is hard.
That what he's doing is taxing on him, and I shouldn't say taxing and Donald Trump together, but you know what I mean. So why in the world would he be campaigning 3 years out?
Well, again, I think it's because it's to keep his base fired up, and it's because it works for him.
Yeah.
Does Kevin have us?
He does.
Can he play the audio? It's 30 seconds long.
Yeah, so sure.
Donald Trump, sworn in as president 100 days ago. America has rarely seen such success. A respected Supreme Court justice, confirmed. Companies investing in American jobs again. America becoming more energy independent. Regulations that kill American jobs, eliminated. The biggest tax cut plan in history. You wouldn't know it from watching the news. America is winning, and President Trump is making America great again.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Isn't that a striking to hear him say, Donald Trump, I approve this message. As Wendy said, it's 3.5 years until the next election. You're already hearing that phrase in presidential commercials.
It sounds like Charlie Sheen is running. We're winning.
Well, I don't know if either of you heard this because it was very subtle, but there was a slight dig toward the news. Did you almost you almost needed a microscope to find it? But it was
very
in there.
Very slight. Well, yeah. and on screen. But the things I pulled apart this ad, and I think it's interesting to talk about just what he is saying here. He says a respected Supreme Court justice confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, he did get Justice Gorsuch on the bench. This was not unexpected. It's not exactly a huge accomplishment. It was a vacancy that was sitting out there for more than a year. There have been 113 people sworn onto the U.S. Supreme Court, so this isn't like, wow, how did he do that? In fact, they had to break the rules of the Senate, longstanding rules of the Senate, to get him confirmed. He says companies investing in American jobs again. Now, the words on the screen say, fact, 500,000 plus jobs created. That refers to January, February, and March figures from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now, that in a way, it kind of steals a base because January, those numbers are really President Obama's numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you adjust those numbers and say, well, let's look at February, March, and April, they're actually pretty good. 522,000 jobs created, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Well, that's pretty good, not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But in those same 3 months last year, in 2016, the nation added 615,000 jobs. In 2015, it was 586. In 2014, it was 752. In 2013, it was 613. Again, compared to 522 for Trump. So you get the idea. These are fairly normal February through March numbers. You have to go back all the way to 2010 before you find a number that's worse than what Trump got.
This
but again, these
month.
Are these are estimated numbers, and I'm not saying that Trump's been a disaster in this area, but he certainly it's not like he's think people are doing something, companies are doing anything different.
Right,
it's a very normal economy right now. He says America becoming more energy independent. And the on-screen image shows the Keystone XL pipeline, which is it's a pipeline that takes these tar sands oil from Canada and takes it basically all the way down to New Orleans, mm-hmm. where they refine it out the Gulf of Mexico. It doesn't have nothing to do with energy independence for the United States. This oil is going to be exported. It's going to go from Canada down to the Gulf of Mexico and then to other countries. So that has nothing to do with America becoming energy independent. He says regulations that kill American jobs eliminated. It's quite true that he is slashing regulations, but I would describe some of those as consumer protections or environmental health protections. And the effect on jobs is really unclear right now, but he is doing that. And he says, the biggest tax cut plan in history. Now, did you hear the word plan?
It's a plan. It hasn't been implemented.
It's on one page. I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. It's like something high school sophomore would write the last minute, like, oh, I got to write my tax plan. I forgot it's due this morning.
Yeah.
How will it help us and who will it help?
Well, exactly. That's the big question. And of course, when you look at that one page thing, it looks as though most of the benefits are going to the upper income earners and then the lower middle income earners are getting hosed. But he says plan. It's just a plan. So it's not exactly an accomplishment. But on the screen, the graphic on the screen says biggest tax cut in history. And it's just like a little, so if you're watching with the sound down, or what did he say? You see on screen, biggest tax cut in history. And again, this is for people who aren't really paying attention yet, or who maybe never pay much attention. And then the whole thing about fake news. And when they say you wouldn't know it from the fake news, he shows, Andrea Mitchell, Scott Pelley, George Stephanopoulos,
yeah.
Wolf Blitzer,
all those fake newscasters.
All those fake news people. And this is why the networks aren't running this ad.
They all pulled out of that, right?
They all ended up pulling out of it, saying, you can't say we're fake news and
right.
have us run this, considering it's not during a political campaign. During the actual campaign season, I think
forced to.
Their ability to pull those kind of ads is diminished. And my first thought after I saw this was, obviously, well, it's just too soon, but gosh, I wish Barack Obama had done this. I wish Obama had tooted his own horn the way Trump does. That, when Obama passed the stimulus back in 2009, and then he passed Obamacare in 2010, he sort of sat back, basically, and said, well, these are self-evidently good in his mind. And he got cream for them both. I mean, there's just a relentless campaign that's going on
right.
At those times. And it cost him the U.S. House in 2010,
yeah.
and then in 2014, he was also clobbered, and he lost the Senate. And that really cost him just about any chance he had to get anything else done besides those two things. But he never really got out there and did any end zone dancing about these things.
It wasn't
his way. He sort of,
right.
And he had this thing like, well, history will vindicate me. This is the right thing to do. Now, conservatives will disagree. They say no amount of advertising could have redeemed that. But this is the way politics goes right now. And Obama was good at connecting with people. He was a good campaigner. He was able to win in 2012. He beat Mitt Romney by more than Trump beat Clinton in both the popular and the Electoral College votes. I wish that he had done that. That's a really strong feeling.
Quick question to you, Eric. After the election was over and many people were surprised by the results, there was a roundtable discussion on one of the news shows, and they said that Donald Trump's base is the extremely rich and the extremely poor. And that just kind of went unchallenged. And I don't disagree with it. I believe that. My question is, how could you pull that off? He has pulled it off, but that's amazing that polar opposites, the very rich and the very poor, would both see something in Trump that the vanishing middle class just doesn't seem
to
buy into.
My view is that he's winking at the upper income brackets. Like they know that, he's going to protect the Republican establishment, and that he basically conned the lower income classes. He conned the blue collar workers and say, like, I'm going to bring back coal jobs. He's not going to bring back coal jobs. Coal jobs are gone.
But the very poor have nothing to begin with. So a change to them, it's worth taking.
Wasn't
I
their
think.
Phrase Absolutely. The why not Trump? Like,
what have you got to lose? What, he was saying to the African American community that didn't particularly resonate with them. But yeah, I mean, and Trump came in full of bluster, full of promises. He's going to bring, winning. We're going to win so much you're going to get tired of winning. And jobs will come back. That'll be easy. Everything's going to be easy. I'm going to get rid of Obamacare on the first day. And we'll have much lower premiums and much better care. He is a really good flim-flam man.
It was like Harold Hill in The Music Man as he comes
really
into that
was.
Town in Indiana and explains what the town will be better.
Really, he was able to pull that off. And people who want – and they were hearing sort of, I think, a fairly technocratic message, an incremental message from Hillary Clinton, who was obviously a flawed candidate in a lot of ways. But, you know, she wasn't exciting people. She wasn't saying, I'm going to do – this is all going to come roaring back. It's going to be great. And when you hear that and you're voting, you're thinking, well, why not take a chance? We've had 8 years of Obama, and we've had before that 8 years of George W. Bush. The establishment party's been running it. The insiders have been running it, even though I would argue that Obama really wasn't much of an insider. The economy's kind of limping along, and here's this guy
but
who says –
But on an uptick – I mean, compared to where we were 5 and 10 years ago, we were certainly
It was an 80 straight months of job growth now, but it hasn't been as robust a recovery. It was a really serious – what we faced in 2008, 2009, it was a really, really serious recession. And they were losing – you talk about these monthly job growth numbers. We were losing like hundreds of thousands of jobs a month when Obama took over. I mean, people sort of forget what a crisis it was when he took over. So, you have a situation where we have dug our way out. I think the stimulus really played an important role in that. And Obamacare has got its flaws, but there are a lot of people who have benefited from it. But again, I feel like Obama didn't really sell himself except during the general election campaign. He was able to sell his vision and his accomplishments, but otherwise he didn't do that. And I think it's good. I mean, I think if Trump's going to win again, this is how he's going to do it. He's going to be selling himself kind of nonstop between now and the next election. And I can't say it's true, but I wanted to talk about a different ad, another ad. Can we do that
not
now?
Yet. No,
not
Eric,
now?
Please.
Oh, okay.
Just give people a minute to breathe. Please, Eric. We'll take a quick breath. we'll come back. Eric Zorn is here. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. You see him in the Chicago Tribune. There he is in real life. He's bigger than you see him in the paper. Eric, you brought in not one, but two bits of audio. You've already played one. What else could you possibly have
done? I did. Well, I actually sent Kevin yet a third one.
What?
We'll see if we have time for that. I know it's so jam-packed here. Do you guys know J.B. Pritzker?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
He's the billionaire.
Running for governor.
He just put out, speaking of people who came out early with ads, that election is not until November of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost a year until even the primaries. He's one of about five, six Democrats now running in this primary or who throwing their hats into the ring. And he came out with an ad, and I was wondering, can we play just the first, 15 seconds of
it? Sure,
of
course.
Can we hear that?
All right, here it is.
We all know Illinois has big challenges, and under Governor Rauner, things have only gotten worse. I'm J.B. Pritzker, and I've been thinking big since the very beginning.
So that's where it cuts off. And essentially what this is, Pritzker is a large man, and the opening video shows
him. That's
the
joke?
Well, it's not a joke. I think what he's doing is he's getting out in front of the idea that he is like Chris Christie size, and he's just getting out in front of that. He wants to put that issue behind him, so to speak. And so this opening thing, Donald Trump wears the long ties, so you can't really see how kind of doughy he is, and he always wears a suit jacket, and he tries not to be photographed when he's playing golf because golf attire is not particularly flattering.
Is the long ties to cover up his stomach?
Yeah, I think it is.
Why doesn't he have long and thick ones? You could have like a 3 foot.
Yeah,
that
like
would
a
help
Fred Flintstone
more.
Tie
yeah,
or
exactly.
Something.
The one that goes down about right to his sternum.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the opening scene shows Pritzker walking down a sidewalk, wearing a dress shirt.
Yeah.
It was unbuttoned at the collar, so there's no tie, and he's kind of hanging over his belt, and he looks big, and then when he says, I've been thinking big for a long time, they show a picture of him as a baby, where every baby's chubby, right?
Yeah, sure.
And then as a young man, looks like he's about maybe 8 years old, and he's husky. Remember that term, husky?
Yeah, right.
Husky size.
Yeah. Sears Roebuck huskies.
Huskies. Yeah, husky department.
And I just thought this was really smart of him. I haven't really thought that much about the Democratic primary field yet, but this is something that is going to come up that people are going to be talking about behind the scenes, whispering, oh, is he too fat to be the governor and so on. And I think this just gets it out in front of, like, hey, you know what? I'm overweight. I've battled my weight all these years, and I'm just fine. I'm fine with that.
You can't have an overweight governor?
You
could have an
overweight. Well, we've had. George Ryan was a large guy. He wasn't,
Big Jim Thompson.
I don't know. Was Big Jim?
He was big and tall. Yeah.
But I thought this was a really smart way to introduce himself to people. Like, look, I know I'm bigger than you might expect, but...
So he doesn't want to be the really rich candidate. He wants to be the candidate that enjoys a donut every once in a while.
the guy who's like you. Well, there was a lot of talk about this. Remember when Chris Christie was a plausible presidential candidate? And a lot of people were saying that, lots of people struggle with their weight and they can relate to this. They can say, look, okay, yeah, he's not. I mean, and we haven't had exactly great luck with our rail thin governors, right? I mean, Rauner has
none of them.
And Will Blagojevich was very lean. And then again, George Ryan ended up in prison and he was substantial. So I guess it doesn't matter, right? And that's the thing that Pritzker is getting out in front of here. He's saying, look, I'll bring this up because maybe you're a little bit afraid to bring it up. I'll just bring it up and say, look, I'm a big guy. I'm okay with it. You should be okay with it. Let's talk about it.
Let's break bread together.
Let's talk about that.
We'll break bread. Not wheat
but
bread.
But I get the bigger half. So
he'll be our Rubenesque candidate for governor.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was really smart. And, he's also, the big issue with him is going to be that he has no elected office experience. Neither does Chris Kennedy.
Nor did Bruce Rauner.
And Donald Trump, people.
Yeah.
How's that all working out for us? Yeah.
Experience seems to be a thing of the past, doesn't it? There was a time where a candidate prided him or herself on experience, but now it's almost the opposite.
Right. And you have, right now in the race, the person who arguably has the most experience is the wonkiest guy, is Daniel Biss, who's the state senator from up in Evanston. Mm-hmm. He's a former math professor, and he really knows state budget issues, and he can really hold forth on these issues in a really concrete way. And he's also served in Springfield. He knows how the place works. But I think he's probably going to be overwhelmed with all the money that Pritzker is going to put into the race. Chris Kennedy has already put $250,000, I think, of his own money into the race also.
Yeah. I have to say this about Daniel Biss. He's one of those candidates, like, from years gone by, who prided himself on going door-to-door and meeting everybody in the community,
right,
which is an impressive undertaking, but he's done that.
Right. Well, and so did Amaya Pawar, who's
the
Chicago alderman, who's also running for governor. Basically won in his district by doing the whole door-to-door thing.
Yeah.
State Senator Will Guzzardi did the same thing. He just went out and knocked on doors and introduced himself to as many people as he possibly could. You can't do that statewide,
unfortunately. Maybe Pritzker will do that. And just, do you have any cookies? Just one cookie? I just want a cookie.
Well, see, Bill, these are the kind of jokes that he was trying to avoid.
Oh, sorry. But I didn't realize that.
So it's going to be a really – do we have time to play that last little bit of audio?
We don't. Can you come back at a future date?
Yes, I can do that. Maybe listeners are going to have their radios tuned waiting for me to come back.
Stay right here for one week. We'll see you in a week.
That'll be fun.
It's Eric Zorn, everybody. He's in the Chicago Tribune, where you should read him regularly. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it.